You know what makes us great as human beings? It's the fact that we can learn and we can improve ourselves. And there is no limit to how much we can learn and how much we can improve ourselves. You know, I often compare people with computers, right? Now, computers are machines, but they are very extraordinary machines for one reason and one reason only. It's that they are able to learn. And how do machines learn? Through apps. They are able to increase what they offer us and what they can do for us thanks to apps. Now, to understand that more clearly, think about a computer or a phone or a tablet PC that you switch on and there are no apps, nothing, no stock apps, no apps that come with the operating system, just blank. It's there, it's on, it works, but it has no apps. How useful you think is that going to be? It's going to be totally useless, right? It's just a piece of glass with some light behind it. Now, the moment you start uploading apps onto that, apps like what? A social media app, or a graphic design app, or a word processor, an AI app, a graphic design app, a camera app, a photo editing app, video editing app. Now, suddenly, that same device that was useless is starting to become more and more useful and more versatile. So you got this one device, computer, laptop, or tablet, PC, whatever it is. On one hand, it's an accounting package at work. At home, it's an entertainment unit. So you switch off the accounting apps, shut down the accounting apps, and you open up your browser, you open up YouTube, you open up Netflix, it becomes an entertainment thing. Then you open up your music app. Now you're listening to your audio. Open up your podcast app. Now you're listening to your podcast. Open up your reader app. It becomes a learning tool. So this is the same, exact same device. It's not like you are changing the devices constantly. It's not like you're swapping out one device for the other. It's the same device, but because of these apps, it's capabilities are improving and its capabilities are increasing. Now, in the same way, you and I as human beings, we are born with almost no knowledge. And as time goes, we, like that device which has apps loaded onto it, we get information loaded into our minds through a process of learning, a process of continuous learning. So we learn to speak. We learn motor neural skills. We learn to tie our own shoelaces, put our own clothing on, feed ourselves. Then we go to school, we read, we learn to read and write, and we learn different subjects, and we progress through life like that. Now that's where our superpower as human beings goes. Unfortunately, there are still people who think that learning, and particularly constantly upskilling yourself, is a burden. Really, I spoke to people yesterday. I mean, I'm doing career consultations pretty much every day. And I spoke to a couple of young guys yesterday who have a choice of career in, I think, accounting. The one guy wanted to do accounting simply because he wants to do his degree and he wants to be done with learning. Boy, oh boy, is this poor chap in for a major nasty surprise when he gets out into the world of work, only to realize that even in a field like accounting, things are constantly changing. New things are coming out. New technologies are emerging. I mean, the fact that technology is a major part of a career tells you that things are going to change, and they're going to change pretty rapidly, because there are career paths, there are professions that never had anything to do with technology, in a traditional sense, but now they are super pervaded by technology in such a way that it's impossible now to imagine those professions without this technology. And if you're not using this technology, then you are completely going to be blown off the map. You're not going to exist anymore, because your competition is going to wipe you out. And a very good example for me, and it's not just a good example, but it's such a stark example. It's such a sobering example, in a sense that it tells you, that alone tells you how pervasive technology has become. It's the field of agriculture, right? Now, I'm from a province known as KwaZulu-Natal in South Africa. And KwaZulu-Natal, especially the Midlands of KwaZulu-Natal, is is known for cattle farming. So as you drive there, you're going towards the Drakensberg Mountains. You'll be pretty much surrounded by beautiful rolling green hills. And I mean, when I say green, I mean impossibly lush green hills with black and white cattle, heads lowered, grazing on the grass. It's the most soothing sight you can imagine. It's beautiful, it's soothing. You'll never imagine anything like technology there. As you're driving there, maybe you might stop at the roadside and just have a look at those hills and those cattle grazing and the birds flying and chirping. There's no sign of technology there. But trust me, the technology is there in a way that you can't even imagine, and it's hidden under the surface. What technology is that? I'll tell you. The technology is that every single one of those cattle is connected to the internet. Now this is a fact. Every single one of those cattle is connected to the internet. How and why? Why would cattle be connected to the internet? Obviously, they're not surfing or browsing or anything like that. No, obviously not. You know, we get these health devices, wearable health devices that we wear, like your Apple Watch. Now, what do these things do? They obviously monitor different aspects of our health. So that's precisely what the cattle are wearing. They are wearing health devices that constantly monitor their health. What aspects of their health? Things like their body temperature, their pulse, the pace at which the cow moves, the heart rate. I don't know if I said heart rate, but the heart rate of the cow. And what it does, what this device does, is that via the internet, it transmits this information to the farmer, to a server basically, and the farmer has access to that server. And using his iPad, his tablet PC, or his phone, he can be anywhere in the world. And by accessing that server, he can see a map, a topographic map of his farm, first and foremost. And then he can see little dots and flags there. And each one of those dots and flags represents one of his cattle. And he can zoom in on any one of those cattle and get readings about it. But I mean, why would he want to do that when he's got an AI system that actually does that for him? And it's constantly checking on all his cattle. And the moment it detects an anomaly in one cow, for example, its heart rate is too high, or it's the pace at which it's walking is out of the acceptable parameters. For example, it's walking too sluggishly. Immediately, that AI system flags the farmer and says, you need to have a look at this cow here. And because it's also tracking GPS information, that the health device that it's wearing, it'll pinpoint exactly where on that 100 hectare farm is that particular cow, so that the farmer can send his team, retrieve the cow, take it for treatment, and bring it back to what it was doing. Now, why is this so important for the farmers? Why would they go to this extent? It's got to do with psychology, right? So dairy cows are extremely temperamental creatures, and they get stressed out very easily. And when they get stressed out, then their milk yield drops. And when the milk yield drops, the farmer loses money. It's as simple as that. And the smallest things can stress out a dairy cow. They are very difficult to maintain and to keep happy. So dairy cows need to be just that. They need to be kept happy and healthy all the time. So how stressed do they get? And I'll give you an example. One farmer was telling me that there was some road construction happening a few kilometers away from his farm. And every now and again, there would be an explosion where they were blasting rocks out of the way, or boulders out of the way. It wasn't that loud. It wasn't so loud that it would be ear-piercing. You could hear the rumble in the distance. But this farmer, poor chap, realized that that sound was stressing out his cows, because madams didn't like it. They weren't particularly fond of the ruckus that was coming from the construction site. And so what happened? They got stressed, the milk yield dropped, farmer lost money. And we're talking about thousands of cattle dropping the yield. The farmer could lose millions in just you know, within a month. So they have to ensure that these cattle are happy, healthy all the time. And they use technology to do this. Now, this is just one aspect of technology in one aspect of agriculture. I've just given you one example. I can give you lots more examples where in both animal production and food production, plant production, technology is everywhere. It's pervasive. I mean, if you look at the farmers, small scale coffee farmers in Kenya and Rwanda, there's some major technology taking, giving shape to those farms there. I mean, those are places where the farmers are small scale. They are generally those single families running the farms. They're quite poor. They don't have capital. And for them, and these are generally arid areas, and for them to, even water is a costly exercise. Watering the farm is costly. Fertilizing is costly. So they are using AI to pinpoint exactly, they've got sensors in the soil everywhere. And that AI can pinpoint exactly where the moisture levels of the soil are low, so the farmer needs to moisturize, or where the nutrient levels are low, so the farmer needs to fertilize there. So why fertilize the whole farm when there's only maybe half the farm or 25% of the farm actually requires fertilization? Now, I mean, you name the industry, and technology has pervaded that industry. It's difficult for me to come up with any industry. Perhaps you can put in the comments, you know, industries that you are aware of that have absolutely zero, nothing to do with technology. I'd be willing to learn. I've done some research. I couldn't find anything. So pretty much every industry has been pervaded by technology. And as a result, it's constantly changing. And as a result, those of us who are working in these industries need to keep up with this technology. And how do we keep up? By constantly, you said it, upskilling ourselves. By constantly upskilling, upgrading, upping our knowledge, we will keep ourselves relevant. We will increase our own employability. We will progress in our careers. We will, our overall productivity will go up, especially if you are working in spaces in, you know, as far as knowledge work goes. If you look at a technology like ChatGPT, with the emergence of ChatGPT, how many careers became instantly easier, so much more streamlined? For example, writing, right? I remember reading an article by a reporter at a newspaper, I think it was a columnist, who said that prior to ChatGPT, it would take her like 3 hours to write an editorial or a column. But after ChatGPT, it took her less than 25% of that time. Not that she was getting ChatGPT to write everything. That's not on the table here. That's easy to detect, and that person could lose their job. But what she does is that she uses ChatGPT to help her out with ideas and the initial planning, and then she weaves everything together in her own words and she presents that. In the same way, automation is going to affect just about everything, right? So we need to leverage this technology to enhance our productivity. And ultimately, look, there are hidden entrepreneurial opportunities there. For those of us who are entrepreneurs, who are aspiring entrepreneurs, by upskilling ourselves, we will be learning about these opportunities that are emerging. And who knows, by taking up these opportunities, we might find success, hopefully. And a good example of that is a friend of mine, a youngster, must be in his mid-20s. This guy came to know, he learned about aquaponics farming. And, aquaponics with a sort of AI and technology-based aquaponics farming. And so he went and got funding and he started a farm and he grows nothing but lettuce in the middle of the city, in a township. And what he does is he's got a tunnel, and aquaponics is where you've got fish in a giant-sized tank, and the fish droppings are pumped out from there, converted into fertilizer, and then pumped into the aquaponics, the water of the aquaponics tunnel, and this water is now then pumped to his crops. When you walk into his tunnel, it's impressive. I always say, and I like visiting him. Well, it's been a while, but I used to like visiting him. When you walk in there, all you can think of is a burger, because all that lettuce, man. And there's about 6 different types of lettuce, if I'm not mistaken. And his job is just to sit back and watch the progress, and monitor the nutrient levels in the soil. And he's doing well for himself. He's got just a few major customers that he supplies, and that's it. He doesn't sell to the public. He sells to the wholesalers, and he's doing well for himself. Every few weeks, he gets a new yield. So he found an entrepreneurial opportunity through his learning, through his upskilling. Now, that is as far as our careers goes. But there's something else. You see, as human beings, and I keep saying this, you'll see this is a recurring theme in my podcasts and in my TikTok, that we are made up of 4 major elements, like the 4 wheels of a car. We have the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual makeup. All 4 things make us into the human beings that we are. Obviously, we are physical beings, and we do have mental capacities, but we are also emotional beings. We have emotions, and the notion of being a Spock-like Vulcan without emotions, a stoic without emotions, that is unrealistic today, and if it ever was, and it's unrealistic in the workplace. And then, of course, there's the spiritual aspect. Now, spiritual and religious are 2 different things. They're somewhat related, because religion supposed to or does lead us to a level of spirituality, but that's a different topic altogether. Now, when I speak about upskilling basically means to upgrade ourselves in all 4 aspects so that we perform optimally in every aspect of life, not only at work. Because, I mean, we are more than just our professions, right? We are parents, we are spouses, we are siblings, we are somebody's children. We have relationships at work, relationships at home. We have friends, we have wives, we have children, we have parents, we have aunts, uncles, we have family. And we have to deal with these people, right? On an emotional level, we love them. We love our kids, we love our spouses, but sometimes there are challenges. Maybe we love to go to work. We enjoy working with our colleagues, but there are challenges there that we can become emotional about. So this is where the whole concept of emotional intelligence comes about. So we need to constantly upskill ourselves so that we become more and more, not just mentally capable, but emotionally capable also. And of course, there's the physical aspect. I mean, when you look at it today, and this is one of my pet peeves, you know, as much as experts talk about how bad it is to eat junk food, the junk food industry is just growing in leaps and bounds. Why? Because we haven't upskilled ourselves to a point where we have the awareness that's become almost a conviction that what I'm eating here, I'm eating this delicious junk food burger, and it's affecting my health. It's going to make me gain weight. It's going to clog my arteries or make it harder for me to do any exercise or whatever. It's going to harm my health in different ways. So we generally don't eat nutritious food. We don't, we don't work out. We don't live healthy lifestyles. And then we complain. And when it's like that, when you are in that state, when you can't, when you're not physically fit, obviously, you cannot function optimally at work, at home, no matter where you are, right? You will just be suboptimal in your performance. So what I'm getting at is that we have to look after all 4 aspects of us, like the 4 wheels of a car. And if you have to ignore even one, then that's going to lead to larger problems down the line. So let's get to how to upskill. Now, I'm going to give you just 5 steps to be constantly upskilling and upgrading yourself. Number one, always engage in self-reflection. Now, self-reflection for me comes about through meditation. I meditate every single day. And it could be the type of meditation where you just sit on a mat somewhere and you focus on nothing but your breathing, etc. Read about it. It's quite interesting. Or it could be a type of meditation where you're walking in nature and you're just sort of introspecting while you walk. So what works for you is great, whatever works for you. Second, be a continuous lifelong learner. And this is something I always say to my students. Have a knowledge base that's inch thick and mile wide. What is that? What does that mean? Inch thick means not so much depth to that knowledge, but a lot of breadth. So learn about a number of different topics. Now, what's going to happen there? Why I say this is from those topics you learn, you'll find that there are a few that you'd like to go deeper into, deeper than an inch, right? You'll want to, in some cases, you'll want to go down the rabbit hole. So for me, for example, when it comes to any concepts relating to software engineering and algorithms, I will read to the depths of that and come back up because I love the topic. I just go deeper and deeper. It's not just something that I personally enjoy. It used to be, not so much anymore, something to do with my career. I was a software engineer at one time and it was necessary for me to know that. Another thing that I just can't get enough of is healthy eating and a healthy lifestyle. Travel, I love travel. But when you look at things like astronomy, science, I enjoy those topics. I will read something if I come across it, but I won't actively go looking for a book or something on that. It's the same in a similar way on a personal level. I love reading about philosophy. I love learning about philosophy. Classical Arabic is one of my favorite topics because, I mean, some of the works written in classical Arabic are still, you know, mind-boggling even up till today. So these are things that I've chosen from that inch thick, mile wide. These are things I decided to go deeper than an inch. If you can say I've gone a kilometer deep in some things, it's not a joke. So you start there and then you go deeper. That's the only way you'll know, hey, I have an interest in this. So you're basically giving yourself a whole menu of items that you could learn more about. Next, once you know that, clarify now your objectives. I want to learn more about this. So ask yourself a question. Where do I need to go? What do I want to know about this? And then assess your current skills. Ask yourself, what do I already know so I can build on my current knowledge? And then look at industry trends. And then you'll come up with a learning pathway for yourself. Then you set goals. Obviously, SMART goals, specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, time-bound. I don't want to go too much into that. Set yourself goals. So recently, I bought a camera, right? A Sony ZV-E10. I'm recording on my ZV-E10 right now. I bought it for work, but I've taken an interest in photography because I've seen some YouTube videos talking about how capable this camera is as a normal photography camera. And I had a background in photography. I've done some filming before and, you know, weddings and things when I was a kid, but things are changed. So I had to look into the industry, see what's new, what's different, how are people doing things. And so I kind of went down a rabbit hole with that one. And I really enjoyed that journey. I learned so much about things like framing, exposure, different lenses, focal length, and what's the difference between lenses of different focal length, what's the difference between a 16 millimeter to a 35 millimeter to a 200 millimeter, when is each one used? It's a mind-boggling journey I went through, and it was amazing. So I had a goal there, and the goal was to be able to do very good photography and excellent videography and be a good editor also. And finally, once you have all those, you have your plan, now establish a learning pathway for yourself, a learning plan. Start going through different resources and putting it all down into a note somewhere or an Excel spreadsheet and say, well, okay, this is my learning plan. I'm going to go step 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm going to go watch this course on YouTube and that course on Udemy and that course at Harvard or wherever until you complete that learning plan. So this is a repeat cycle. Every time you learn something new, you go through this repeat cycle, whether it's something to do with, like I say, with personal benefits or with professional benefits. But the main thing is that to be constantly upskilling yourself, I hope I've convinced you that it's necessary. It can't be something that we ignore, because we are not living in a time now where, okay, you've got your degree, you've got your job, and now you can lift your legs up and freewheel it. You're going to be bitten so badly. You're going to be left behind. And when you get left behind, well, you know what's the outcome of that, what's the potential outcome of that. So, superpower. Our superpower is constant improvement. It's my mantra. You remember what I say? Better every day. And the way to be better every day is to be upskilling every day. Thanks a lot. Thanks for joining me. If you listened to me up till this point, I appreciate it. I'm grateful. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.